station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to History and You with George Rodriguez Walling right here on LA Talk Radio.
And good evening, and welcome to History and You, the show where history matters because you decide what history becomes. If you want to call in and contribute your issues and insight, please call at 323-203-0815. Call in and tell me your Christmas story. And speaking of Christmas, Merry Christmas to everyone out there. On the other hand, if you are shy about going on the air but want to contribute anyways, send me an email at historyandyou@yahoo.com. That's historyandyou@yahoo.com. You'll find this information on the website. I am your host, George Rodriguez Walling, and I am very happy to bring you this show on the evening of Christmas Day. This is a very special day for me and for many others who also share in the gift of celebrating the birth of Christ to the world. Now, tonight's show is about the eight gifts of Christmas. But first, I want to talk a little bit about what makes this day so special, so different from all other days, that always breaks new ground for people to reach out to one another once again, to extend and give of themselves a little more, and to be a little more kind in the ways that can bring the warmth of the season into the human heart. These are the things we can do in trying to be better at who we are and what we do in life, but only if we choose to do so. Christmas is that time of giving, whether it's in the giving of ourselves or a gift or both. The key here is to give and to do good. You know, it always makes us feel better when we give than receive, because it's in the giving that drives the heart. But when we receive, we do so with expectations. I've often wondered, do we gain more personal satisfaction from doing a good deed than a bad one? If so, the more interesting question then is, why? Some have speculated that perhaps by doing a good deed, it leaves people with a permanent feeling of clarity and honesty in matters of conscience and heart, while an evil deed is often found to be short-lived, meaningless, and easily forgotten in the long run, betrayed by malice and clouded with guile. So if doing good to others makes us feel better, then why do we sell ourselves short so often in thinking otherwise? We give each other gifts on Christmas to express our love for family and affection to friends, but Christmas runs a little deeper, I'm afraid. Christmas is about what we have, what we no longer have, and what we will never have. Let me take a quick pause here to remind our audience, for the participants who wish to call in with questions or comments, the number is 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. Or just send me an email at historyandyou@yahoo.com. That's historyandyou@yahoo.com. I'd love to hear from you. Let me also mention a quick word about the value of Avcom Technic. Airline companies, this is especially for you, so listen up. This is a company that truly makes flying the safest and fastest way to travel, and the folks here at Avcom really do go out of their way to make sure that all your destinations are met. What do these folks do? They make sure that all instruments on commercial airliners are in proper working order, and that is very important, especially nowadays. They also maintain all flight systems according to federal government codes and regulation standards. And why do airlines pay special attention to Avcon? Avcon is one of the largest third-party automatic test equipment operators in Miami, Florida. We provide avionics and component repairs, defect rectification, schedule maintenance, and overhaul and modification of avionics. They are also FAA, EASA, pending CAAC approved repair facility. These folks have been in business for 25 years. They are an approved repair station for GMF, Air Transit, Air Wisconsin, Boeing, Comair, Delta, ExpressJet, Allegiant Airlines, KLM, Lufthansa Technik, Monarch, Saab, SkyWest, US Air, Iceland, oh my good, so many others. Avcon operates 17 automatic test equipment systems, and it is an approved vendor for 95% of domestic and international carriers. They do have a warranty return rate of less than 1%. So, airline execs, please call these folks at 305-436-0300. That's 305-436-0300, or you can check them out on the web at www.avcom-avionics.com. That's avcom-avionics.com. Okay, let's get back to the show. Drawing up a stores list. Christmas is about the things we think we have. Let's take a closer look at the 8 gifts of Christmas that we so often then take for granted. Christmas gift number 1. A spouse. A partner in all things, who when she speaks to me, I have a life. A woman, as in my case, who lives for me in body and soul. Do I so gladly dare to dedicate my complete devotion to filling her remaining days with the happiness of my love for her. You know, picking a spouse, the right one, is probably one of the most difficult things to do, especially nowadays. It's come to the point where we just really don't know how to pick them. A good spouse can make your life and keep it in perspective. The second gift, a mother and father. How often do we mistreat them, ignore them, fight them? How easy is it to overlook the only people in this world who will love and accept you for what you are and with no conditions? This is unique, and to have this is truly a gift. So many of us have it, so many of us decide to ignore it. Gift number 3, a brother and sister. A companion for life and committed to taking the good with the bad about you at every turn. How often do we wish them away through fights and other condemnations? Gift number 4. A family. A closeness shared and unlike any other. How willing have we sometimes been to trade off the very marrow of your own home just to chase overrated pleasures over underrated treasures? Gift number 5. Your health. To feel good is one of those precious things we never think about until we catch a cold or the flu or worse. Then, and only then, do we begin to wish for our health before any of this ever happened. When we feel good, we don't give thanks to anyone. When we feel good, we don't say anything about it. When we feel bad, then we start thinking about the times we felt good and never even thought about it. Gift number 6. Your job. Your job. How God blessed we are to have our jobs. To labor for the things we have and enjoy is the greatest fruit to replenish the soul. Matter of fact, we love it so much we often take vacations just to get away from it. But when we complain about it, it's really a celebration of our own mediocrity. So cherish your job. Make sure you do a job that you enjoy, that you don't mind going to bed Sunday nights and waking up early Monday mornings and feeling good about where you're going, feeling right and feeling confident about what you are about to do. Gift number 7, your children. Precious as they are, and eager for adults to be grandparents, just to do the kid thing on a part-time basis, there's nothing like that look in their eye telling you how much they love you until they need something. Then the whole thing changes. And gift number 8, your friends. Friends, everybody has friends, but you got to understand what they are. Friends come and go. They come back again, and they go away again. But good friends, however, never run out of things to talk about. Never see the shallow side of each other. Always can pick up where they last left off. And they always make sure that the strength of their friendship outweighs any pettiness that may chew at it. All the rest in life is secondary. And we will talk about that in just a moment because I think we have a caller. Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, George. I just wanted to say Merry Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas. And who is this?
This is Maria.
Oh, Maria, thank you. Thank you very much. And I hope you're having a very, very nice Christmas yourself.
We are. We're here with family, and we're all gathering here. We're going to have dinner, and we're having a very nice time.
Well, that's terrific. Well, my love to everyone there, and wish them all a very, very Merry Christmas, and I hope you enjoyed all of my 8 gifts that I just gave you as one big package gift for everyone there.
Okay, we've been listening. Thank you.
You're very welcome, and thanks for calling. All right. After the 8 gifts, all of the rest is secondary. And if Christmas is also about the things you no longer have, that's when the meaning of the season becomes the most. It's pointed because you've now begun to realize just how short life can really be. And the moments we have left with each other to share are no longer taken for granted as often anymore. So Christmas is about forgetting what is owed to us, forgiving those who injure us, and remembering those loved ones we took time to laugh with while in the world. So if you choose to be defiant and arrogant enough in failing to take all of this in deep inside, then you'll never understand Christmas. From that moment, that will be the Christmas gift you'll never have, your own redemption. Okay, we have another caller.
Hello, George.
Hi, and this is?
This is Alfredo.
Oh, hi, Alfredo. Merry Christmas.
I just wanted to let you know that we love your show.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for your exposition on Christmas.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I hope
we really appreciate it. We're gathered here with family, and we couldn't have anything better than your show. So that's great.
Well, thank you so very much. Thank you, and Merry Christmas to everyone there. I hope you enjoyed all of my 8 gifts to you.
Okay, well, keep your program on. Don't let it stop. It's great.
I definitely will try and do that. We'll head in that direction, definitely.
Okay. Thanks again.
Thank you for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Wow, that was very nice, very encouraging. And at this point, let me take another quick pause to remind our audience, in case you're joining us late, for the participants who wish to call in with questions or comments, the number is 323-203-0815, or just send me an email at historyandyou@yahoo.com. The number is 323-203-0815. Or email me at historyandyou@yahoo.com. I'd love to hear from you. I think we have another call. Nope. Okay. So let me take at this point, mention another quick word about the value of AFCOM. Once again, airline execs, please listen up. This is a very important, interesting message for you to consider. This is a company that truly makes flying the safest and fastest way to travel. And the folks here at AFCON really do go out of their way all the time just to make sure that your destinations are met. And what these folks do, they make sure that all instrumentation on all commercial airlines are in proper working order. They also maintain all flight systems according to federal government codes and regulation standards. Okay. And why does the industry of commercial airlines use AFCON? They are a one-stop avionics repair shop specializing in all three manufactured TCAS systems. In addition, they have a TCAS antenna repair program designed so you can evaluate the cost benefits of repairing versus replacement. And by a flat repair fee of $18.95, no evaluation fee. They also repair and overhaul high-end avionics manufactured by Bendix King, Honeywell, Rockwell, Collins, ACSS, Smiths, Thales, and BAE in current production for Airbus, Boeing, Douglas, CRJ, and ERJ aircraft. We have, or they have, licensing agreements with a wide variety of companies, including Honeywell, Rockwell, Collins, ACSS, Smiths, and Thales. They offer superior service and the fastest turnaround time possible. So you may want to give these folks a call as soon as you are able to do so at 305-436-0300. That's 305-436-0300, or you can check them out on the web at www.avcon-avionics.com. That's A-V-C-O-M, avcon-avionics.com. Okay. Do we have another caller here?
Okay. George, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And who is this?
This is Dean. How are you doing?
Oh, Dean, how are you? Good to hear from you. I hope you're having a very, very nice Christmas this evening with your family.
Thank you. Likewise. George, I have a friend who I've known for over 20 years who is an agnostic. Obviously, I respect his belief or lack of belief thereof. What can someone say, or what can you say to him in terms of the meaning of Christmas, particularly to someone who doesn't necessarily follow the Christian faith?
Well, that's a really terrific question. First of all, remember what an agnostic means in essence. It is basically a person that doesn't believe, nor does he disbelieve. He's just not ready or not really sure as to what is out there. And he begins to cast doubts on several things, several philosophies, several ways of thinking, okay? What I would say to this individual is to consider the world around him. Everything in the world, Dean, everything in the world is a miracle. It is a miracle done every second of the day, every God-given day, every week, every month, every year, every decade, and it goes on and on and on. It is a daily miracle of life. Consider how our bodies function, how we recover, the microcosm of small worlds, microscopic worlds that we don't even know. We don't even realize how their entire ecosystem may work, and yet they survive. The survivability of life at every level, from the most microscopic microcosm one can ever imagine, all the way up to the largest of life scales, everything is a miracle that has in its point of origin no other explanation but the need to have faith. And this is what drives all of the 8 gifts of Christmas, for us to realize all of the things that we have, how God sustains us on a daily basis. And he gives us gifts, and he just puts them on the side for us to look at, us to use, and many times we just make the decision and the choice to ignore. So if a person thinks about being an agnostic so thoroughly, so philosophically, why not then read the philosophies of other spiritual or religious dogmatic scholars that talk about the impossibility of how one can survive in this life existentially and even agnostically? And I hope this is your question.
Well, thank you very much. That was very moving. Thank you, George. And I want to wish you and your family a blessed holiday season and a prosperous new year.
Thank you. Thank you very much for calling in, Dean. And my best to you and your family. Okay, I think we have another caller. Do we? No. Okay. All right. We do have a caller? Okay, well, I don't see another caller there on the screen. So let's get back to the show. What is the history of Christmas? Oh, I know you've heard a lot about the holiday, but how much do you really know about its origin? Well, let me look at a couple of things here for you to consider. No one knows what day Jesus was born, or even exactly which year. But in 336 AD, Anno Domino, the Western Church, based in Rome, chose December 25th to celebrate the coming of Christ into the world. In English, this day was known as Christ's Mass, which became Christmas. The Eastern Church chose January 6th. The day was named Epiphany, meaning appearance. Eventually, the period from December 25th to January 6th became known as the 12 days of Christmas. Interesting. The first time the birth of Jesus Christ was attributed to the date, December 25th, was in the 4th century, according to early Roman history. Early celebrations of Christmas are thought to have derived from Roman and other European festivals that marked the end of the harvest and the winter solstice. Some customs from those celebrations that have endured include decorating homes with greenery, giving gifts, singing songs, and eating special foods. The holiday developed further with the legend of course, St. Nicholas. Although much of this history is unconfirmed, the man who we know as St. Nicholas actually lived in the 4th century and is believed to have been a bishop in Asia Minor. Many articles attributed to him are dubious at best. Nevertheless, some countries named him as their patron saint. He is also considered the patron saint of, among others, children, for protecting them, sailors, whom he reputedly saved at sea, and of course the poor, to whom he generously gave gifts. In his honor, the feast of St. Nicholas was marked on December 6th, and gifts given the night before. The tradition was well established in many European countries by the 12th century. Eventually, because St. Nicholas Day and Christmas Day are so close together, their traditions generally were combined. The tradition of Santa Claus, or St. Nicholas, originated with several old European legends. The modern image of Santa as a gift-giving, rotund gentleman in a red suit with a sleigh and reindeer can be traced to Clement Clark Moore's poem, A Visit from St. Nicholas, also known as The Night Before Christmas, which was published in 1823. The Christmas spirit of giving also can be traced to the book A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Dickens' book, published in 1843, is the story of Ebenezer Scrooge, which you might have no doubt heard about, a stingy curmudgeon who has a series of visits from the ghosts of Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. These ghosts show Scrooge a series of disturbing visions that make him realize the evil and futility of his life. And he becomes a completely new person, generous, loving, and likable. Okay. And so that is a little history of Christmas and the Christmas holidays. But there is more to come. Is there a caller on the line here? None. Okay, very good. Now, let me move on to some Christmas facts, which you may not be aware of. Okay. Which I would like to start by describing them as, did you know? Did you know that the story of Jesus Christ's birth is told in the New Testament Gospel of St. Luke and St. Matthew? I'm not sure I knew that. Maybe. Okay. Did you know that some Christians celebrate Jesus Christ coming on January 6th? The Epiphany, the appearance, when they believe he was baptized. I didn't know that. The song 12 Days of Christmas refers to the 12 days between Christmas and the Epiphany. I knew that. I told you that at the top of the show. The word Christmas comes from the Old English Christus Masse, which means Christ's Mass. I didn't know that. Did you know that the word Xmas, letter X with M-A-S following, is sometimes used instead of Christmas? In Greek, the letter X is the first letter of Christ's name. I didn't know that. Did you know that in 1969, the Roman Catholic Church dropped St. Nicholas Feast Day from its calendar because his life is so unreliably documented? Okay. The German word Christkindl, I think it's pronounced, which means Christ child, eventually turned into Kris Kringle. I knew that. Did you know that Santa Claus generally was depicted as an elf? As an elf. Until 1931, when Coca-Cola ads portrayed him as human size. Didn't know that. And the last one, thank goodness. Did you know that Rudolph, you know, Rudolph with the red nose? Rudolph didn't become Santa's ninth reindeer until 1939. When an advertising writer for the department store Montgomery Ward created him. That I did not know. And these are facts entertained to you by Encarta 96 Encyclopedia. Okay. the other parts for our history of Christmas that I would like to cover with all of our audience at this point is what happened on this day. Something always unique, something different, happens on December 25th, aside from it being a birthday of a very good friend of mine. In the year, and I will start you in the year 1621, these are facts that actually happened on Christmas Day. In 1621, the governor of New Plymouth prevents newcomers from playing cards. What's the... Okay. Next year, 1651, the General Court of Boston levies a 5-shilling fine on anyone caught observing any day, any such day as Christmas. They must be agnostics. In the year 1861, Stonewall Jackson, you remember this guy? This was General Robert E. Lee's right-hand man in the American Civil War. Stonewall Jackson, in 1861, spends Christmas with his wife, their last one together. In the year 1862, President and Mrs. Lincoln visit hospitals in the Washington, D.C. area on this Christmas Day to see the veterans, the injured veterans, of course. And speaking of Mr. Lincoln, don't forget to catch the movie by Daniel Day-Lewis and Sally Fields. Outstanding. Gives you a chance to really measure and evaluate the quality of leadership of Mr. Lincoln in relation to the kind of leadership that we need today under our President Barack Obama. An interesting parallel here as far as the man who freed the slaves. And we have now a black man as president. And it would give you a good chance to compare and evaluate the quality of leadership from one Lincoln to another and his performance as president, President Barack Obama. Interesting conversation. Back to our years. 1914. German and British troops on the Western Front declare an unofficial truce to celebrate Christmas during World War I. Yes, that I knew. They actually called a ceasefire just to wish each other Christmas, each in their own language, each in their own ways. And there was no shooting that was done across no man's land, at least for the moment. They observed a solemn moment for the meaning of Christmas, for the meaning of giving, for the meaning of what we are and how we can make ourselves better. In the year 1927, in our neighboring country, the Mexican Congress opens land to foreign investors, reversing the 1917 ban enacted to preserve the domestic economy. This deals with foreign direct investments, and this caused a real stink for not only Mexico, but also the United States and other European nations, particularly Germany, and wanted to invest in the subsoil and petroleum deposits that Mexico has. And it caused a real problem, in particular for President Wilson, who did not get along very well with one particular dictatorial president at that time named Huerta. In the year 1946, Chiang Kai-shek, remember this guy? He was the nationalist leader for China. We supported him against the efforts of Mao Zedong in the Chinese Civil War, which finally came to an end in 1949, when the Chinese communists finally came to power in China. Well, in 1946, Chiang Kai-shek offers a new Chinese constitution in Nanking, pledging universal suffrage. Universal suffrage. Outstanding. In the year 1962, the Bay of Pigs, you remember this episode? Cubans made a valiant attempt to invade the island with American support, hopefully, which never occurred. And they backed out. And after that, many Cubans were either slaughtered on the beaches or captured, or both. Okay? And the leadership at that time was under the tutelage of President John F. Kennedy. Well, in 1962, the Bay of Pigs captives, upon their return to the United States, vowed to return to Cuba. Return to Cuba, once again, to topple Fidel Castro. I only wish it would have happened, but it never occurred. In the year 1979, Egypt, which, by the way, now is, well, not just Egypt, but the whole Middle East region, is in so much turmoil that one can hardly imagine how to even begin to fix it. But in any event, 1979, Egypt begins major restoration of none other than the Sphinx. Wow, interesting. 1991. A really important year. Christmas Day, December 25th. Mikhail Gorbachev, the Soviet Union's first and last executive president, as the Soviet Union resigns. The Soviet Union no longer then existed. That's when the Soviet Union imploded. Under the tutelage, the American tutelage now, of President Ronald Reagan. Interesting, in 2006, James Brown, remember this guy? Used to really make people go into a real tap-toeing rhythm here. James Brown, the godfather of soul, good man, dies on December 25th, Christmas Day, at the age of 73. More interesting dates. Not exactly in the same order, but nonetheless equally interesting. The year 1900. Smallpox epidemics breaks out. In 1900 in Kentucky, a smallpox epidemic was raging with hundreds of people stricken. The majority rate was 20%. Mortality rate, excuse me, was 20%. And health authorities demanded that every person in the state be vaccinated. Another interesting thing that occurred on Christmas Day in 1926, Emperor Hirohito. Do you remember this guy? This was the Emperor of Japan during World War II. On December 25th, 1926, Hirohito becomes the 124th Emperor of Japan, succeeding his father, Emperor Yoshihito. In 1969, oh dear, Vietnam. Casualties, December 25th, 1969, reporter William F. Buckley, writing in the Kimono Tribune, had visited South Vietnam and observed that 80% of the casualties were South Vietnamese and 20% were American troops. At that point, he felt that the U.S. was going about the war in the wrong way. Interesting. Okay. And the last one, as far as episodes that occurred here on Christmas Day, 2008, not that long ago, Eartha Kitt dies. Who was Eartha Kitt? Singer, dancer, actress. She died at the age of 81. She died of colon cancer on Christmas Day. Her famous hits included Old Fashioned Girl, Ceci Bon, and Santa Baby. And she was blacklisted, interestingly, in the U.S. in the late 1960s from having spoken out about the Vietnam War at a White House function. Interesting. And let me begin to finish up here with important people that were born on this day, December 25th. And this one is an interesting one. Sir Isaac Newton. Remember this guy? English mathematician and scientist who enunciated the laws of motion and the law of gravity. So one need not see in order to believe that if you hold a hammer, it shall fall. You can attribute that to Sir Isaac Newton. In 1841, Clara Barton, founder of the Red Cross, was born. 1870, Rosa Luxemburg, Polish-born founder of the Spartacus League, which later became known as, wow, the German Communist Party, which really didn't go anywhere because it met up with the far right wing Nazi Party. 1907, on Christmas Day, a darling gentleman, Cab Calloway, was born. Cab Calloway, bandleader, first jazz singer to sell a million records, was born on this day. And the last one here, 1918, I believe to be a very good man, a man of peace, a man of conviction, a man of resolve. Anwar Sadat, Egyptian president, known for his participation with Menachem Begin in the Camp David Accords, also done under the American tutelage of former President Jimmy Carter. Anwar Sadat was born on this day, and important to note that this gentleman and political leader of Egypt won a Nobel Peace Prize. Okay, all very good, all very interesting. And now we've come to the final part of our show, where I begin to wish to leave you with a final thought to consider and further reflect regarding the sign of our time and what is yet to come. Some final thoughts. The spirit of Christmas is always with us. It never leaves us. And we can choose to use it anytime we want. And when I talk to you about the spirit of Christmas, you know what that spirit is. It's a willingness to be kind. Or it can be an elegant gesture dressed in winter white. Or even a moment of easy longing and long remembered. So tonight, when you gather with friends and family, remember your Christmas spirit as you break bread together on the table. Be willing, make a gesture, and most important, create a reason to remember this night, because it will not return again. Don't forget to catch me next week, next Tuesday night at 7 p.m. by visiting our website, latalkradio.com, and look for History and You. As your host for this evening's show, this is George Rodriguez Walling, wishing for all of you a very, very pleasant evening. And in that same spirit of Christmas, I'd like to finish with the words of Irving Berlin in 1942. Which he said, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know. And where the treetops glisten and children listen, just to hear sleigh bells in the snow. I'm dreaming of a white Christmas with every single Christmas card I write. And may all of your days be merry and bright. And may all of your Christmases be white. Merry Christmas. Good night.
Listening to History and You with George Rodriguez Walling, right here on LA Talk Radio.